T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go with Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
All right, 202 on the Fan, and a very good Friday afternoon to you. Beningo and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here till 6 o'clock, Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Tommy Lugauer back at the shop in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta with us, of course, in Yonkers. We're live from the ever-mobile Town Fair Tire Studio. Nobody, 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 and nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, bro, how are you?
Bro. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm slipping and sliding, you know?
slipping by.
And sliding. I actually went to ShopRite today. What an interesting thing that was today.
I can imagine. Going out is an adventure these days.
Let me tell you right now, first time I've ever waited in line to get into a grocery store.
Wow.
Had to wait in line. As somebody came out, you went in. Quite a different feel. You got to wait online to get to a checkout. All the checkouts now have these, you know, plexiglass by the cashiers. So, a little different situation when I went to ShopRite this morning.
One of the, I think my parents told me they did this, and my in-laws are doing it too. There are some places you can go to and shop, and then they deliver the food to you in your car.
Which is
a nice deal to have right now. So,
right.
Yeah, it's a very different experience for all of us, getting the necessities that we need as we continue to stay home and stay safe. It's a different world we're living in right now, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Still very weird to get used to. And it's going to be a different world next week when the Mink Man isn't doing the updates.
Oh, my God.
But today is, and Mink is doing his radio tour today. He's on with Boomer and Gio. He's been on with the midday guys, Moose and Maggie.
Right.
This is really a holiday, the more you think about it. It is a celebration of John Minko because 32 years at WFAN, a part of the building blocks of this place. And he really is a celebration of a guy that's had a hell of a career. And as we've said numerous times, and everybody's saying it, so you know it's true, one of the nicest guys in the world. And coming up today at 5 o'clock, you'll hear the final official update of John Minko.
Amen. Amen. And we're honored to have it on our show.
Bro. Oh, God.
To be very honest with you, I'm honored, Mink, if you're listening, that the final update from you is going to be with us.
Hey, so, look, because for both of us, obviously different ages, we listen to you as fans. I mean, you as a listener to this radio station, Mike and the Mad Dog, plus me as a kid growing up, I mean, it was always a part of FAN to hear Mink's voice. It's been a part of it.
Doubt.
So, I'm like you, man. I'm honored and humbled that we're on the show that he's doing the final update of, because we grew up and, you know, listen to the guy, and he's
indeed
a legend.
Indeed.
We do have a busy show today. Todd Zeal, the former Met and the former Yankee. He did spend like 5 months with the Yankees.
A little bit.
I think he was back in 03, former Cardinal.
St. Louis Cardinal,
Former Texas Ranger. Todd Zeal will join us a little bit later on. Ian Eagle will join us later on as well.
Iron Eagle actually spending time at home. I mean, I wonder if he knows what he's doing. He must be like, what do I do? You mean I'm not like in 14 different cities in 12 days?
This is a very new
experience, right? I mean, that's basically the deal for Iron, right?
It's so true. It's so true. He's used to doing everything, whether it's tennis, college basketball, Nets games,
whatever. He does it all. I'm surprised he doesn't do like Australian rules football.
That's next.
That's coming. Him and Dan Fouts.
When sports comes back, Iron may tack on a couple of more sports.
He might.
And for the first time, you know, buckle your safety belt. We will begin the Beningo bracket of pain.
That'll be interesting.
It's just the play-in matchup, so this will be a nice, easy way to
start.
Nice,
easy one. Nothing. No, none of the major pain we will have gotten to yet.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be slightly painful.
Minor hemorrhoid, that kind of thing.
Well described.
Minor hemorrhoid.
And for those asking, because I've gotten a lot of tweets saying, "What time are you beginning the bracket of pain?" Around 5 o'clock. So late in the show. Okay. So that if there is too much pain, at least the show's almost over.
Right, we're toward the end. Right,
exactly. Now, last night, I got to tell you, I did do it, bro. I did do it. I watched every pitch of Game 6 of the 1975 World Series between the Cincinnati Reds and the Boston Red Sox. And here's the thing for everybody listening, no matter what game it is, no matter what classic game you go back and watch, you notice things that aren't talked about nearly as much in the legend of the game. I mean, because here's the thing. As a baseball fan, as a weird baseball historian, here are the things I knew going in that most of us know.
Right.
We know Carlton Fisk hits one of the most famous home runs in baseball history.
Yes.
We know that.
Iconic picture of him, you know, pushing it fair, all of that.
No doubt.
Yep.
I think a lot of us know that Bernie Carbo hit a game-tying three-run home run with the Red Sox down by three in the bottom of the eighth inning.
No doubt.
But here are a couple of things from this game that honestly I just never knew. First of all, Sparky Anderson, Joe, basically used an opener. I mean, let's call it like it is. If you go back to
Who started that? I don't even remember who started that game.
He started Gary Nolan in this game.
Gary Nolan. But Gary Nolan was not a bad pitcher for him in his day for the Reds. He was not a bad pitcher.
He wasn't. I agree. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers. I'm seeing his stats.
He was a pretty good pitcher, Gary Nolan.
He has a shaky first inning. He gives up a three-run home run to Fred Lynn. All right? Right.
And Fred Lynn gets hurt in that game. Doesn't he run into the outfield fence and get hurt in that game, Lynn?
Joe, you remember everything, man. He runs into the fence on, it was the triple by Ken Griffey Sr. in the fifth inning.
Okay.
Makes this leaping attempt, but Lynn stays in the game.
Right.
He doesn't come out in the game.
Right.
But yeah, that was a big play in the game when Griffey Sr. Hit a two RBI triple as Cincinnati was coming back because the Red Sox had the early 3-0 lead. Gary Nolan comes out for the second inning, pitches a 1-2-3 inning. No big deal. All right, I'm figuring, all right, he's going to go deep in this game. In the top of the third inning, Sparky goes right to his bench. Now, remember, no DH. First couple of years, they had no DH. Then they would switch it off year to year. It wasn't home ballpark following
correct.
The rules.
Right.
So Sparky pinch hits for him right out of the gate. And so the Reds end up using 8 different pitchers in this game.
Well, they had a tremendous, you know, that bullpen they had was really... they had an amazing starting lineup, but that was really the strength of their pitching staff was their bullpen. They had a tremendous bullpen. Raleigh Eastwick, Will McEnany, Pedro Bourbon. I mean, they had an outstanding bullpen.
And he was using all of that great bullpen plus some of his starters because 3 days in a row, the games had been rained out. So everybody was fresh. It's game six. He's trying to close the thing out. But I'm telling you, rewatching this game, that was an opener. I mean, we can analyze it however we want. Gary Nolan gives up three in the first inning. Fine. He pitched a 1-2-3 second inning, and then Sparky's going to his bullpen.
Yeah.
And he's playing matchups, too. You know, he goes to Fred Norman, who's a left-hander because of the matchups.
Norman.
Because of who was coming up for the Red Sox in the third
inning. These
guys
were all starting pitchers, too. Gary Nolan, Fred Norman was a real solid starter.
Jack Billingham.
Like Jack Billingham was in that game, too?
Yeah.
Wow. These guys are all starting. I don't remember that. These guys are all starting pitchers.
Oh, I know. Trust me. As I'm watching this game, I'm trying to figure out his strategy as it's going on.
Right.
And so he used three starters, basically, and then used all the arms in the bullpen. And the other thing is, you know, Cincinnati obviously comes back. It's a 3-3 game. Then they take the lead. Carbo hits the home run.
Yep.
The Red Sox, in the ninth inning of a tie game, down 3-2 in the series, have the bases loaded and nobody out. I mean, they're going to win the game. There is going to be no Fisk magic because it's going to happen right here. And Fred Lynn hits a fly ball to left field. George Foster makes the catch.
Yes, I remember this play. Now
guns out. Yes. Denny Doyle at the plate.
I remember that now.
Oh.
Now that you say that. And Foster was not a guy with any kind of a great arm, by the way, either, in left field.
I think that's probably why Don Zimmer was sending him.
Right, right.
Thinking
right.
that. But bases loaded, nobody out, bottom of the ninth inning, you got Fred Lynn and Rico Petrocelli coming up. I mean, yeah, look, the Red Sox win the game, so I guess it doesn't matter. Right. But still, bases loaded, nobody out, they can't score. And then the other thing is, 11th inning of this game, since Pete Rose leads off with a hit batsman. What a surprise. Carlton Fisk makes a tremendous defensive play, throwing out Rose on a bunt by Ken Griffey Sr. Jumps out, makes a perfect throw, and then Joe Morgan looks like he's about to take the lead. Hits a deep fly ball to right field.
Is this the one Evans takes the home run away?
Yes. What a play.
Right into the – right. I guess it was kind of like by the bullpen there in right
yes.
field in Fenway, right?
That low
over
fence.
Over the short wall, right, the short wall, right.
And,
right.
And I don't know, like watching it again, I'm not sure if it would have been a home run, but it's definitely an extra base hit.
Right, right.
And the Reds definitely take the lead. And that was in the top of the 11th inning of this game. So, look, you're right when you talk about the ups, the downs, the moments in this game. And then what kind of reminded me of the Boone game, just a little bit. Yeah, because there's some similarities, but there's a lot of differences. You have the home team coming back late, like the Red Sox did, like the Yankees did in the Boone game. And the Fisk moment is the second pitch of the bottom of the 12th inning. So you don't really have a lot of time in that 12th inning to kind of get comfortable. It's just boom, second pitch. Boone's, I think, was the first pitch from Tim Wakefield.
Yeah, I think it was. I think you're right.
But in Fisk's case, second pitch he sees.
Pat Darcy, is that who we hit off?
There you go, Pat Darcy.
Right.
And Pat Darcy had retired the six guys he faced, so he was pitching
very well
in the 10th and 11th inning. Fisk hits the home run. Place goes nuts. I didn't even mention Louis Tion, who was something else to watch, man.
Oh, Tion, man. I mean, I remember Tion coming out, and just the crowd in Fenway with the Louis chant before the game as he's walking out to the mound from the bullpen. I mean, I remember that moment, too. I mean, there's so many things about that game that – you know, just jump out at you, you know?
It was. I mean, look, we could sit here all day figuring out the greatest game in baseball history. It's tough. It's up there. I don't know what the answer is because, you know, maybe someone would side to a game seven where it's a winner take all. Obviously, Cincinnati came back and won game seven, which was another really good game that I'm curious to watch. But, I mean, pound for pound, just the ups, the downs of it, the comebacks on both ends. The Red Sox are up three early. Then they're down. Carbo hits the home run. The other thing I didn't realize is that Bernie Carbo's rich history or somewhat rich history with Cincinnati.
Yeah, his rookie year, I think, was 1970 with the Reds, a Red team that won the pennant.
Right.
And wound up losing to the Orioles in a World Series. I think he was a starter on that thing. He was a key guy on that 70 team.
The big deal they were making about Carbo was that not only was he a first-round pick by Cincinnati, but he was taken ahead of Johnny Bench.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about rewatching these games. You do see things that you just either didn't know or forgot or didn't realize. So that's the other element
of Carbo. Who was doing the game? Who was the play-by? Is Gowdy doing that game?
Or
is
Dick Stockton.
Dick Stockton, right. It is Dick Stockton. Okay.
Joe Garagiola did it a little bit.
Right.
Stockton and Garagiola were definitely two of the guys that were doing it.
Okay.
But it was
Stockton, I think, makes the classic call on Fisk's home run.
Yeah, know? I think so.
I think he's the guy that makes the call.
And I'll tell you, they had some, you know, considering it was 1975, they actually stuck a camera inside the Green Monster. And it was
really?
A pretty cool view. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they were showing it, not for every pitch or anything like that, but, you know, throughout the game, they would show that vantage point. And it was very, very cool. It's a great game to watch. And I always say this, man, when you watch these games, there's so many aspects of it that make it great besides the headline. The headline's Fisk. The headline's Bernie Carbo. I get it. I understand that. But when you watch the game, there's just so many other things that happen. I mean, that great play in right field, like you mentioned, Dwight Evans.
Dewey Evans.
The double play in the ninth inning. Fred Lynn getting hurt. I mean,
and the other thing with this game is just so many. One thing about that game, so many great players that are on the field.
Yes,
you know, I mean that Red team, which to me, you know, I understand the Yankees, and you know, it's hard to go against the late '90 Yankees, but that team, especially those 2 years, 75 and 76, and the guy, I mean, the Hall of Fame. Look, Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. You know, Pete Rose, you got Joe Morgan, you got Tony Perez, you got Johnny Bench. I mean, there's so many guys, Griffey Sr. You know, George Foster, who was really a tremendous player back then for them before, of course, he got to the Mets. And you look at the Red Sox, you got Fisk, you got Rice, although Rice didn't play in that series, hurt. That's right, Rice was out. If I'm not mistaken, Jim Rice did not play in a World Series. He got hurt earlier, late in the year, right? Rice is not
in
there.
He didn't play in this game, that's for sure.
I don't think he played in a World Series at all. But you had Yastrzemski was on that team, Rico Petrocelli, Fisk, you know, Teon, Fred Lynn, who was a great – Fred Lynn, if I'm not mistaken, in 1975, was the rookie of the year and MVP.
That was the year, yeah, when he burst onto the scene.
MVP and rookie of the year in 1975, Fred Lynn.
Not easy to do. We saw Ichiro do that, but that was different circumstances, obviously.
Nope.
But, yeah, that was the year Fred Lynn did that, and he's the one who –
Bill Lee was on that team, the spaceman, I'm pretty sure, with the Red Sox in 75. That was – those were pretty classic teams there.
And it is cool to watch Louis Tion pitch, that's for sure. I mean,
El Tionte, man.
Oh,
he
my
was something.
God. Some of the things he was pulling out, some of the slow curveballs, the windups, the staring into space as he makes a big turnaround during his windup. I mean, he was – that in itself was a joy to watch, just watching him pitching. And he really pushed him, Darryl Johnson, the manager of the Red Sox. He pushed him, man, because he actually had him, I think, start the eighth inning. And I don't know, watching along, he started to run into trouble in the fifth inning and the seventh inning, but he pushed him deep in the game. I mean, he had a pitching line that you'll never see anymore. 7 innings, 11 hits, 6 runs. I mean, you're just never going to see
a line
like that.
Is that what his line was in that game?
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know how great the Red Sox bullpen was. I mean, I'm trying to think who their big – was Dick Drago their big guy out of the pen?
Nailed it. And they pushed him for 3 innings out of the bullpen,
they
Dick
did.
Drago.
Okay.
And
okay.
The guy who ended up getting the win was Rick Wise. He was the last guy on the mound.
Rick Wise. Rick Wise was traded earlier in his career for Steve Carlton.
How about that? It is
what
definitely the differences of how Sparky was so aggressive in going to his bullpen, even though it included half of his rotation. And the whole thing was, hey, he's got game 7 in the back pocket. Don Gullett's going to make the starts.
Right,
and he had
him
kind of waiting, and he figured, I'll just use everybody else to try to win this baseball game. And obviously it didn't work. But spoiler alert, they won game 7.
They did win game 7.
Yeah. And the Red Sox curse continued. Moved on a little bit longer.
You know, the amazing thing about the Red Sox, when you look at their, they would make the World Series, and they did, a number of times. Every time, every World Series they were in after the curse of the Bambino until they finally win it in 04, is a 7-game, painful loss. They lose in 1946 in a 7-game series to the Cardinals. They lose in 1967 in a 7-game series to the Cardinals. They lose this series to 75 and 75 to Cincinnati, and then a seven game series to the Mets in 86.
I think that's
I
think that's enhanced the curse.
Right.
I don't know how we view the curse, because think about it. The Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs both had a drought that dated back earlier than the Red Sox, right?
Right.
But the Red Sox one was the number one curse in many ways.
They also lost, if I'm not mistaken, the Indians beat them in a 1-game playoff in 1948, which I think was also in Fenway. And then, of course, the Bucky Dent game in 78 that they lost to the Yankees in Fenway.
Yeah, they had a lot.
I mean, think of
and I think that's where it comes from. It's not only the ineptitude of not winning since 1918. And like every loss was not only a 7-game loss in a brutal way. It was defined by something. You go back to 1946. It's Slaughter's mad dash. You know
that's the
definition of how they lost.
Yep. Ted Williams, who did not really hit in that World Series either in 46.
Not at all.
He didn't hit at all.
Not at all. Yep. And then you throw
only what he played in.
Yeah, and which stinks. I mean, because he shouldn't be defined that way.
No.
You know, usually great,
and he's not.
He isn't. And look, nowadays you usually are going to get more opportunities than one World Series, 7 games to define yourself. I mean, look at Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was terrible in the playoffs, but he eventually kept getting back to where he had that 2002 postseason run where he blew away, and he thought that he can't get a big hit, and he wasn't clutch.
Right.
But I think what enhanced their curse was these kinds of losses.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it.
Especially when you follow up losing game 7 after winning a game like this.
And so many of them at home. Like I said, I think the Enos Slaughter game was in Fenway too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
So the only one that they lost, and all of these games, that game against the Lou Boudreau and the Indians in 48 was in Fenway. The Mucky Dent game's in Fenway. Game 7 in 67 is in Fenway. Game 7 in 75 is in Fenway. I mean, I lost all these games at home on top of it.
46 was in St. Louis. So
it
that
was
one was on the road.
Okay.
But they went back to St. Louis up 3-2 in that series. So they were one win away, and they lost Game 6 to the Cardinals and Game 7 to the Cardinals.
Okay.
So that one wasn't at home, but a lot of the other ones were, and it enhanced everything before they finally broke through in 2004.
Yep. Yeah.
Finally, we're able to break.
Great game. Got to be one of the top 5 games in the history of baseball. I don't think there's any question about
it. Great to watch. I recommend it. It's on YouTube, and here's the great thing about it on YouTube. Two things. A, the commercials are cut out, so you never have to fast forward anything. And the reception is very good. Like, it's not – You're not straining to see. You know, sometimes these videos on YouTube, or they've been put up via like VHS or whatnot. I think this game has been reshown before on MLB Network, so it's really well done. So it's a great game to watch, and it
One
was a classic.
About that game too. Who's playing? Was Petrucelli playing third for the Red
third
Sox?
Third base, yes,
he was. Right with yep. Rick Burleson was a shortstop. I guess.
Rick Burleson played shortstop,
and there's a play in the game. I know it's a famous thing where Rose dives into third base. I forget the situation, and he gets up and he goes to Petrucelli. Boy, what a game this is! Something like that. I remember that. That's I've seen Rose talk about it, where he actually says to him, "Man, this is some game." Like that kind of thing.
It's funny. The game starts. The first batter of the game is Pete Rose. And he hits a line drive to Carl Yastrzemski, who makes a diving catch. That's how the game starts.
Field?
Yeah, right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate.
Hall of Famer, or should be Hall of Famer,
Hall of Famer. I mean, let's be real.
No, I know.
Of course.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.